Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Good morning, this is Lon Woodbury at the Woodbury Report. I'm an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. It is April 18th, 2017, and this morning I have Graham Cook on the line. Graham, good morning.
Good morning, Lon. How are you?
Or good afternoon for you, but it's still morning here. Graham is in Scotland. He's the founder and chief executive of Off the Rail Kids, and he works with a number of particularly wilderness therapy programs, both in the States and, I understand, starting something there in Scotland. So, the topic, taking the wilderness back home to Scotland. Well, what do you mean by that, Graham?
Well, first and foremost, Lon, I'm actually in England. I'm at the very north of England, so you weren't far off, but I'm, for those who know this part of the world, I'm quite near to Hadrian's Wall, so I'm in the old Roman part of Northumbria.
Which side, just south
of Scotland.
And which side of Hadrian's Wall? A little to the south?
I'm in the south of the Hadrian's Wall, yeah. So I'm just in England.
Okay. All right. So to us, on the other side of the pond, it's almost all the same.
Well, we could talk all day about that one.
I'm sure, but that's not the point of it. Talk about taking the wilderness back home to Scotland. What do you mean?
Okay, well, there's a couple of points here, really. I mean, what one is, if we look at the history of wilderness, and in particular, if we look at the book written almost quite recently by Will White there, he talks quite a lot about the history of wilderness, and he talks about its roots in Scotland with Kurt Hahn and other people involved in the public school sector, using Outward Bound as a model and creating something a little bit different to help the health and well-being of and challenge young people at the same time. And it's very ironic because when I started out in this line of work, which was about 10 years ago, I was asked by a client. I mean, my background, I had a corporate life, but I've been involved in business and HR consultancy for about 10 years. And going back in that sort of time span, I was asked by a client who had actually accessed an Aspen program in Colorado and sent his 13-year-old boy out there. And as a very savvy businessman, he knew that I had a background involved in children's charity, a little bit in education, and I had worked with this gentleman in corporate life. And he asked me when he returned from Aspen to look at the potential of a wilderness program in the UK. And he really wanted to try and replicate, I guess, the sort of generic model, if I can put it that way, of what goes on in the US. Ironically, the only place that we could think about that it might happen, it might work, is Scotland. And part of the reason for that is the terrain. And also the land expanse, because at the end of the day, we live on a very small island. But for lots of reasons, it didn't happen. There's a lot of child protection issues in the UK that mean that transparency has to be at the forefront of any involvement with young people. And it is a long, long story, so I'll not bore you with all the detail. But back 10 years ago, there were too many hurdles to actually look at some sort of a program on UK soil.
Okay, well, back to the original Hahn. I always heard that he was a German, but you tell me he was in the UK, in Scotland, and he founded Outward Bound, which was something brand new, and that was on when? In the 30s?
Actually, I think it was nearer the 50s, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. I don't think it was as far back as the 30s.
Okay.
My recollection is it was in the early 50s.
Well, this conclusion that I've heard about made from that was, gee, get people out and get kids out in the wilderness, and it helps. Gets adults, anybody out. So Outward Bound became very popular. And then out of that grew several programs, the Modern Wilderness Day programs like a Red Cliff Ascent that that you often work with, or the Aspen program. And it took Outward Bound and added a lot of therapy and some trust exercises and things. And it became big in the states, especially in Utah, Idaho, Montana, Oregon are the ones, but there's several back east too. And so you've been working with them, and so you bring it back home to Scotland, because the founding of the whole idea of using the wilderness for healing started there, and you're not using your wilderness that way.
Well, to be honest, Lorne, I mean, I have, it's not for the want of trying. From those days 10 years ago, where I was just met with, I was met with a wall of silence from the authorities. I was met with, insurmountable obstacles in terms of children's rights. There's a piece of legislation in the UK called Every Child Matters that is born out of some quite high-profile child abuse cases, where, one has to say the good meaning has probably gone a bit too far. From those early days, I have been looking for a partner, someone who had the capacity to deliver, someone who had, the financial wherewithal and the sort of overall desire to deliver a program on these shores. And, about 12 months ago, I just happened to find that partner who, by chance, as an organization who deliver what was best described as outdoor experiential learning to some very, very challenging young people, most of whom are involved in the youth justice system, so they're just on the cusp of the court system, and they've got a lot of experience of working with those challenging young people in very difficult terrains, and putting some very good programs together. But the missing ingredient was therapy. They had not thought to include therapy to their existing model. And purely by chance, one of their field instructors ended up, whilst he was on holiday, visiting a couple of wilderness programs in the US. And he is an experienced guide and psychotherapist. And so ever since he came back, he had been looking to try and convince his overlords, the boards and the trustees and so on, to look at this new market, which for them would be a completely new market. And through trial and error, they sought out me and engaged me as a consultant to put the two ends of the rope together and tie a knot in the middle.
Well, very good.
Which is what I've done.
Mm-hmm. Well, the I started in here in the States. I started getting in this involved in this industry about the time they were starting to marry therapy into wilderness, the wilderness programs. Because back in the 80s, our wilderness programs, one place that didn't last, fortunately. Called a boot camp for troubled teens. That was the mentality, and they'd take them out camping, like the Salesmanship Club. That was in the 40s out of Dallas. They took the inner city kids out to out and camping like the Boy Scouts, and they got better. And they were married in the 80s. They started getting the therapists more involved in with it. And it was a good marriage. It was wilderness was the best tool therapists can have, so long as the therapists respect it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, yeah.
So now you're working with, as a consultant, you're working with this organization to try to get a program in there. I understand you have a, they had their first event or two?
Yeah, we ran a pilot, which really a pilot program, which we ran. It's a 3-week program, and everybody out there who understands wilderness and understands therapy will be shouting at the radio saying, "Well, 3 weeks is not long enough." I agree entirely, but the alternative to 3 weeks in the UK is nothing. So it's a starting point. Mm-hmm. It took a lot to get there, if I'm being honest, in terms of, you know, human capital, you know, financial commitment and so on and so forth. But this pilot program ran from mid-March to early April, 3 weeks, 21 days and nights, out in the Highlands of Scotland. And the model, it has got, you know, certain characteristics that probably sit with the fairly traditional wilderness model in the US, with perhaps a little on the adventure side, which is not to say that it's a jolly by any means. I mean, you're talking about some, you know, really rugged terrain, and, you know, young people living, eating, sleeping together in small groups out in the wilds, a mixture in some cases, a little bit nomadic. For example, what one of the part of the program initially was they spent the night in a teepee together, mm-hmm. All eight kids and four guides, or three guides and a therapist. They used tents. They used what's called bothies. Now that's probably a word that is not known to most of your listeners, but a bothy is a little stone building which are erected almost at random way up in the Scottish Highlands, miles from anywhere, but they're actually owned by someone, and they've got very basic things like a wood-burning stove in there, and probably very basic bunk beds, and you can basically you can book them, you can pay for them, and you just sort of roll up and spend the night there, and it's shelter in areas where there is normally very extremes of weather.
Okay, so that's what they used in this pilot. Programmers.
Yeah, they used a mixture, as I say, TP, tents, open sleeping, these bothies. But that would, you know, these bothies, you probably had a day's walk between them. So, again, it's all relative in terms of scale. I mean, if we're
Let me go back to your, to add a little different perspective on the 3 weeks, because 3 weeks was the standard in the 80s when I was first introduced to them here in the States. And for its purpose, it was fantastic. You're not going to, if a kid's been having most of their life getting crossways with a life, you're not going to fix it in 3 weeks. It's going to take longer than that, a year, 2 years, something like that. But the 3 weeks, what we used it for, and I got into this, doing this as a mission director for a school, I got into it, is that this is a preliminary. This is the softening them up. It's an impact and it's assessment. And I found some of the best assessments of what was going wrong with the kid came from a wilderness guide that was very, very savvy. And so we'd use that. The parents could use that and say, okay, then at the end of it, we'll know what the problem is, even before the end of it. You'll know what the problem is. He's had an impact, and you can decide. But I always talk to the parents, well, you probably need a therapeutic boarding school, but first let's do this in 3 weeks. Now, we put it a 1-2 punch. If people start off thinking, well, 3 weeks and that'll solve it, they're going to be disappointed. You're right.
I've had to manage parents' expectations on this, and ironically, I did choose the word assessment, which is the only word that I could really, hang my hat on to a certain extent. But one other big difference with this program, and it all comes back to children's rights in the UK, is that the young people who embark on this program have to do so with full and complete knowledge of what the program is all about, and they have to sign up to some very basic rules before they're allowed on the program. Now, if I look at a number of kids that I've and families I've worked with who have gone to the US, you know, the US for kids from the UK is normally a covert operation, and, you know, they do not go out to the US with the fullness of knowledge. But what I do find is that it does take them probably a couple of weeks to settle down in the US once they get there, those kids, because they're rightly angry because they've been duped by their parents.
Well,
But that
let's not spend all our time on this.
yeah.
On this issue, you about ran out of time. But any rate, sounds like you're getting a start on a getting the wilderness therapy back to Scotland.
Yeah, we've got two more programs lined up for one for July and one for August, which are key school holiday, school stroke summer holiday period. So I don't have any fears that we're going to fill those programs, and we will sit down after that and take a view on how we manage things going through the autumn and into the winter. It will be a decision out of my depth because there will be obviously financial considerations,
Well, I'm
but
sure I'm sure Han would be very pleased that this is
the
happening back in Scotland finally, after he
yes.
started it years ago, back in the 50s, I guess you say. Okay, well, we've about ran out of time, but if somebody wants to know more about what you do or more about this program, what do they call it? What are they?
Well, you can get in touch with me on my business is offtherailskids.com. That's offtherailskids.com, as you say it. My email address is just enquiry at offtherailskids.com. And my partner organization who are delivering this are an organization called Venture More. That's Venture MOR. But they can be linked through my website. So anybody who wants to look at what I do, in simple terms, I'm an international agent and education consultant, but not an ed consultant the way that you experience that role in the US. So slightly different, but basically an intermediary specializing in this field.
Okay, yeah, well, it's an entirely different legal environment, and that makes a lot of differences in how things are done. In the states, we have the 50 states, each with their own laws, and so some states, California's a tough one to do it in, but Utah's a great and very favorable, for example. Okay,
Yes.
well, we've ran out of time, but this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Graham Cook about taking wilderness back to Scotland. Well, thank you very much, Graham. This has been very enlightening.
Thank you, Lawrence. It's been a pleasure.